Well, looking at the US, still much the same story. We've got relatively strong growth indicators coming through, still being reinforced, obviously, by lifts in household wealth and also in household income. And we got some more information on that. Admittedly, it was a bit old, but relating back to Q1, it was the final reading of Q1 GDP last week. And we're already at 6.4% annualised growth, which is very, very strong. And it's being led by real consumer spending. Real consumer spending up 11.4% annualised. And as we look through to Q2, and we won't get the Q2 GDP numbers out of the US until the end of July, the first look at those, but it's going to have the 10 on the front of it at least. So very, very strong, these growth readings for the time being. It's particularly strong as far as manufacturing is concerned. And we had the June manufacturing PMI. This is not the ISM one, but the old-style manufacturing PMI came out last week, and it's up to 62.6 from 62.1. That's a very high reading. It was better than expected. Not quite so good on the services side, although the services sector PMI had roared to 70.4 going back to May. They thought it might hold at 70, actually came back to 64.8, but it's still a pretty good reading. And we also got Michigan Consumer Sentiment came out right at the end of the week for the month of June, and that's risen to 85.5 from 82.9. So still a lot of strength in these leading economic indicators. And right at the end of last week, we've got another dose of fiscal spending coming through with President Biden effectively sealing a deal with the legislators over there for infrastructure spending, totaling $579 billion US. So this is on top of everything else that's being spent in the United States for the time being. Now, obviously, the issue with all this is what it means in terms of inflation. And from time to time, this has worried people a little bit over the course of the past month. Surprisingly, bond yields haven't risen as much as you would expect, given the pressure that's coming through. In fact, for much of the past few weeks, bond yields actually come down. They got a bit of a flip upwards when they heard about the infrastructure deal last week and the additional spending that will come through in the US. But they've been fairly well contained for the time being. And that was notwithstanding that when we had the June Fed meeting, we had the forecast there, which is saying now that we'll get two interest rate hikes in the United States in 2013, not next year, but the year after. Just watching anything that relates to this inflation pressure, which is building not just in the US, but everywhere around the world. This week in the US, we won't get a lot of information about that, but we will see, something where prices are rising just about everywhere in the advanced world, and that's house prices. So on Tuesday, we get the April Case-Shiller House Price Index, likely to show a rise, a monthly rise of 1.7% month on month. That follows a 1.6% month on month rise the month before. That would elevate across the United States house prices from 13.3% year-on-year to 14.5% year-on-year. So quite clearly, you've got house prices, much like they're doing here, they're roaring ahead for the time being. We'll get June consumer confidence and, that wealth build-up, and it's not just house prices, of course. At the end of last week, we had the S&P 500 touching a new record high. So it's through shares, it's through house prices. Consumer confidence is riding high, and the June consumer confidence reading, which comes out on Tuesday night as well, is expected to lift to 119 from 117.2. Later in the week, we'll be looking towards the ISM version of the manufacturing PMI. That was at 61.2 going back last month and should hold around that level for the current month. We'll also be watching very much for the payrolls data. That starts with the ADP private employment survey that comes out on Wednesday, which is sort of not particularly accurate prelude to the non-farm payrolls. But what that's expected to show, after a huge rise of 978,000 going back to the month of May, about a 600,000 increase for the most recent month. Then the payrolls, when they come out on Friday, what we're expecting to see there is that non-farm payrolls, after lifting 559,000 going back to the month of May, will lift probably around 675,000 for the most recent month. If that's where they come in, it's probably going to allow the unemployment rate in the United States to drift down a little bit further to 5.7% from 5.8% going back the month before. Also, average hourly earnings, the annual growth in average hourly earnings is expected to lift to around about 3.6% year on year. So, you know, that together with all the government assistance that's going through the United States is really providing support for growth. And as I mentioned, you know, most businesses in the United States now are reporting supply chain bottlenecks and potential price rises. So just watching over the course of the next few weeks just how these inflation indicators in particular start to run out in the United States. Out of China last week, there was nothing of note coming out there. They did have the People's Bank of China meeting. They've left their interest rate at 3.85% over the last few months. The interesting part is that part of our inflation problem around the world is being driven out of China, where producer prices in China are now roaring up. And at the same time, the Chinese are allowing the yuan exchange rate to appreciate. So what that means is that producer prices, which are rising over 9% year on year in China, by the time you convert that with exchange rates, 10% plus when you're looking in somewhere like the United States or here in Australia. And of course, you know, this still is the manufacturing heart of the world. So this is another one of those factors which is driving price pressure many places around the world. This week out of China, it's the end of the month, going into the new month, so we get the official manufacturing PMI and non-manufacturing PMI data. These have been holding up pretty well. The manufacturing PMI back in May was 51.0. We'll maybe drift off a little bit from that. It'll come out on Wednesday and maybe back to 50.7, but not too bad. The non-manufacturing PMI has been running quite high, 55.2 going back to May. Going to be holding that, we think, for the most recent month. Then on Thursday, we get the June cakes in manufacturing PMI. That's the private sector version of this. It was at 52, very strong going back previous month. Going to be around about 51.8 for the most recent month. Here in Australia, well, it's a few things happening, really. First of all, the data. We had the preliminary retail sales data for May. You know, obviously, there was some impact in this from the Victorian lockdown. Still rose, though. So we still had another rise, and these are riding pretty high at the moment, retail sales. It was up 0.1% month on month. It's one of the softer ones we've had over recent months, after rising 1.1% the month before. Obviously, we've got several states now which are in lockdown, the good news is that Victoria is coming out. So you've got Victoria and South Australia between them, and Tasmania, where things are going okay. The rest of the country, we've got a problem with COVID-19, and in some cases, such as New South Wales, the very infectious version of it, which is the Delta variation. This will limit some aspects of economic growth, but not by much. What it probably means in total is that, you know, rather than having GDP, which would have been close to 10% year on year in the June quarter, we might be down around 9% year on year. It'll still be enormously strong. We still have the price pressures coming through here too. But for the time being, the RBA is going to be even more adamant about trying to ignore those price pressures. Because of the potential near-term risks to growth from these shutdowns that we've seen in different parts of the country. What I would say about the shutdowns, you do have federal government assistance now. That came through late in the Victorian shutdown, where they will provide assistance to people affected by these shutdowns. So we have got some income support which runs through. In Australia this week, the data, we do have the RBA governor speaking. Not really speaking, he's actually on a panel, but maybe sort of asked in that panel about intentions for interest rates. Can we hold interest rates down all the way through to 2014? So just be interesting to see what he might say there. We also have some credit data coming out, and we have the May private sector credit coming out on Tuesday. Roughly what's been happening here is this is the stock of credit provided by financial intermediaries, and it's been rising slowly because what we've had is housing credit really starting to lift. Housing credit's been rising about 0.5% month on month. But we've had other aspects of credit, particularly personal credit, which hasn't been growing particularly fast, tending to hold the aggregate back. So total credit's running about 0.2% month on month. But we'll see the leading edge of this on Friday, where we get lending finance statistics from the ABS. In amongst those, housing finance data, which of course is running very hot at the moment, and we had a lift going back to April of 4.3% month on month for the value of housing finance commitments outstanding. It's going to be probably around about that again when we see the May number, which comes out on Friday. Before that, on Wednesday, we also get May international trade data coming out. This is still running hot. And so the trade surplus is expected to rise to $10 billion from $8.028 billion. So trade running high on prices and volumes, actually. So this has been a fairly significant contributor to growth at the moment. And looking at Europe, we had mostly stronger data. Europe's actually picking up now. The restrictions are coming off. They're going into the summer. They've got a fair bit of fiscal stimulus behind them. The ECB has no intention of lifting very easy monetary conditions anytime soon. So we had June consumer confidence came out in Europe. Always a negative sign on the front of this, but it's a small negative now. We came back from minus 5.1 to minus 3.3, so that's actually quite positive. We had the June manufacturing PMI, which the preliminary reading of that, it was higher the month before at 63.1. It was expected to come down a touch. It actually held that level at 63.1. And the services sector PMI has gone up from 55.2 to 58. So that's the Europeans getting down the beach, enjoying themselves in the hot weather with less restrictions and plenty of money to spend. Starting to see growth really starting to come through in these leading indicators for Europe. And that's the story that we expect to see probably this month, this week. But there'll be some interesting data this week. The first and probably least interesting is June Business and Consumer Sentiment Survey. This is strong, but will lift even further to 116.5 from 114.5. Then later in the week, we'll get both the CPI and producer prices out of Europe. And the CPI still not lifting particularly strongly at this point. So this is a preliminary reading for June. And the CPI may even come back a touch to 1.9% year-on-year from 2%. And taking out food and energy, probably only running about 0.9%. But the producer price index out of Europe when it comes out, and this gives a clear warning of the pressure that's ahead for everybody around the world. This was running at 7.6% year-on-year. That was in April. The market consensus for May is 9.5% year-on-year. So wherever you look now, of the major producers of manufactured goods, whether it's Europe, China, or the United States, you're looking at producer prices which are running between 7% and nearly 10% year on year. And this is the pressure point. According to central banks, don't worry about it. It's all temporary. It'll come out once we get over the supply chain problems. The problem is the supply chain problems don't seem to be getting any easier. If anything, they seem to be getting worse. So just watching this, and it's making trying to predict exactly where interest rates might go very, very hard. You've got central banks which are largely not blinking, but the issue is, will they have to blink? Will it have to be a big blink by the time they actually react to all this?